I believe that every citizen of every country in the world that doesn't live in the United States, by and large, are envious of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, the freedom of speech and expression, and to assemble and to follow religion the way you see fit, and to redress the government for grievances. But mostly it's about free speech. I mean, you think other countries are free, but, you know, in England, for example, if I had a program like this and I offended someone in some way, there's a place you can call. Well, Mr. Gruber offended me today. They could actually take me off the air if you were just offended. Not that I used foul language or just offended and don't like the topics that I'm covering. I can be taken off the air. And you would think that, you know, the UK is a free place, not like America. Free speech is critical. And I've been sounding the alarm for years that free speech is under attack in this country. And I get dismissed by people like Esquire Bob and other liberals who just don't believe it. But my next guest, Nicole Neely, the president of Speech First, well, she has an idea that maybe I'm on the money. Nicole, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So just tell me this. I mean, I look at college campuses, and this is one of the things that I see, and I find it startling that you have free speech zones or safe spaces. You know, in one place, this is where you have to go stand to give your free speech or have your permission to talk. And over here is the safe space where you can play with Play-Doh because you don't want to hear any messages that might upset you in some way because you're a five-year-old. It's mind-numbing to me, Nicole. Where do we start?
Yeah, no, I mean, colleges are very different from when you and I went a couple years ago. There's this whole idea that there's such a thing as emotional harm, and we need to keep students safe from that, that words are violence. And so that's why we see polls now where students say, because words are violence, because words cause emotional harm, mental harm, it is right, it is just to meet that with physical harm. I mean, in the wake of all the disturbances at Berkeley a few years ago, there was a whole episode or whole issue of the student newspaper that justified, that said speech is violence, and it justified meeting that with violence, with the Molotov cocktails, with everything else, which is just, I mean, it's backwards. Violence is what happens when speech breaks down. And so, yeah, college campuses these days are not places of inquiry, of the pursuit of truth, but instead of coddling. And, you know, you think how expensive school is. $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year. My niece is going to Wisconsin this year. Out of state, it's $58,000. And if you're spending that much money to just recite talking points, I mean, why bother?
Yeah, that's an incredible amount of money to be indoctrinated into being kowtowed. I mean, honestly, here you are. You're going to a place where college campuses are supposed to be the place of a free exchange of ideas, really crazy ideas college would be, right? And I appreciate you saying I was in college a couple of years ago. Thank you for that. But whatever happened to the old saying in America and a lot of places, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I mean, it's so silly. We used to say that as kindergartners, right? But it's true. When did words become violence? When did we become so wimpy and thin skinned? Oh, I can't hear that. I must not hear this. You upset me. Well, what do you want? A crying towel? Welcome to the real world. It's tough out there. Pull it together. I mean, come on.
It's the language of progression. Yeah. And as you said, it's not what is intended to hurt. It is not what is intended to happen. It's how your words are perceived. And that's why we see speech codes at places like last year when we see the University of Michigan. They said the most important bias is your own feelings. So even if a comment is unintended, even if maybe I didn't know that I hurt your feelings, if you perceived it that way, I could still be disciplined. And I mean, that's out of control, because then you have a situation in which all students on campus need to tailor their language as to how the most sensitive student on campus might interpret their comments so as to avoid getting in trouble.
You know, and
so
I say,
self-censorship.
I hurt somebody's feelings. So what? Honestly, so what? That's the whole point. Abrasive, offensive, obnoxious speech. That is exactly what's protected by the First Amendment. You know, kind, warm, cuddly speech. That doesn't need to be protected. It's a speech that offends or pushes the envelope or makes people uneasy or cringe. That's what needs to be protected. And the beauty of that is this. When I hear people like white supremacists talk, as few as there are, I can look at that and say, I want nothing to do with that. I want nothing to do with that. But if you squelch their speech, if you silence them, then how do you know? The way to figure out what's good and bad in society is to let everybody talk. You're going to be offended by some. You're not going to be offended by some. You're going to like some, dislike some. That's the beauty of free speech, is it not?
Absolutely. And, you know, you're supposed to persuade others. You're not supposed to do it at the point of a gun to censor others, to shield, to silence viewpoints. I mean, if a white supremacist is talking, I think their views are garbage, but I'd love to hear their best arguments so I can beat them. I would love to win in the marketplace of ideas, not try to shut them down by using the force of government.
Absolutely. And that's why I like the point that you just made here. Nicole Neely here, president of Speech First. And that is, it's not supposed to be at the point of a gun or under the boot of a guy with a black face mask throwing bricks at people saying, I don't want you to be here. We get rid of fascists. The whole Antifa movement. And you look at Portland, what a mess. I mean, what a mess Portland has become in all of these cities. I mean, honestly, Antifa is the epitome of being fascist. They just don't even know what the meaning of the word is. Fair to say?
No, I mean, we have students across the country who they self-censor because they fear Antifa. University of Texas, the local Antifa chapter has been doxing the conservative students on class. They were threatening them on Twitter for incoming freshmen, saying, make the right choice. Don't join the young conservatives. Don't join Turning Point because we'll publish your personal information online. That's threats. The school has done nothing about that. And that's a shame because that sends a very clear message what the school's priorities are.
Yeah, it's embarrassing to them. If people want to find out more about your organization, Nicole, and the things you're standing up for, do tell, share.
Sure. We are a membership organization. We're nationwide. Our membership is open both to students and concerned citizens, parents, grandparents, alumni, angry, just people who love the First Amendment. And we defend students' rights primarily through litigation. And we sue schools that violate.
There you go. Speech First is the organization. She's Nicole Neely. This is the Steve Gruber Show. Greatly appreciate it. Ken Cuccinelli is on the way. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.